I want to start in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Actually, I'll read chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2 together. I want you to consider something, and you may never have heard it in this way before. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and at his appointed season he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. Mouthful of stuff there. But let's take it apart a little piece at a time and really apply. What are we talking about here? First, Paul tells you he's a servant of God and an apostle, which means a sent one. And in this case, a specialized sent one of Jesus Christ for the faith of God's elect. That's you. He's sent for your faith. Now, this is a role that apostles fulfill that a lot of people don't consider. He's sent for your faith. How is an apostle concerned where your faith is concerned? How is he sent for your faith? These aren't just idle words. This isn't just a greeting. There's meaning here. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. Paul is telling you that as an apostle, that God is using him to strengthen your faith and to encourage you in the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. Now, how do they do this? Apostles do this through teaching. This directly concerns the teaching area of an apostle. You know, apostles have many gifts. Apostles have many things that they are. They are all of those things. They're pastors, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. But most of all, they are teachers. Most of all, they are teachers. God is using them to lay down His propriety and to bring you to a knowledge of God. Well, how is it that they direct you? They direct you for faith in the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. That knowledge comes through the communion with Christ, doesn't it? It's not a knowledge about God. It's a knowledge of God. They bring you to a point. An apostle submits you to God. And in that relationship, you become knowledgeable of God. In other words, you come to know God. This corresponds with what Jesus said in John 17:3. This is eternal life, that you know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. The knowledge of God. The faith of God's elect, again, is about that communion. An apostle's job is here in this teaching is to show you the way into that communion. Now we're going to punch this up a little bit. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life. What do the witnesses of Christ do like apostles? They proclaim the resurrection. They proclaim the resurrection of Christ. Now put it all together. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. True godliness. Not something you create. Something that God creates in you. A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Now that should be revelation to a lot of people. The resurrection of the dead was promised before the beginning of time. The resurrection, the hope of this gospel, was promised before the beginning of time. Now, what is the beginning of time? Time began as a concept when creation began. You see, with God, there is no change. With God, there is no change. Time is a concept that marks change. Men change. Everything in creation changes because it is temporary. It's forever changing. You know what else is changing? What does this change demonstrate? I want to show you something about the nature of creation. What does this change demonstrate? You know, a baby in the womb, you can see that change, can't you? As it develops from a fetus all the way, you know, into what, it, you know, from a cell and a seed all the way till it becomes that baby. It is changing ever, isn't it? It's not fully formed till it leaves the womb. Well, we're talking about us being in the womb of this earth. Now, the purpose of the baby in the womb was never to stay that fetus, was it? I want you to see this. It was never to stay that fetus. The purpose of that baby being planted in that dark place, in that behind that veil of flesh, was for it to grow and reach a certain point until it came out. When it came out, it would be fully formed. That's what the earth is. It's a big womb. You were planted in it. Man was planted in it. Not that this is his home. It's a temporary place. It's a veil of flesh. What does it tell us about God's purpose here? Our faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Time began when creation began. Because with God there is no time. So before God created, He had determined that man would have the promise of eternal life. He made the promise before creation began. Does that shake you up a little bit? And we learn something about God. As it says here, God, who does not lie, promised before the creation of time. This eternal life. Remember where we were talking about in Hebrews 6? Where God swore an oath against His nature. He swore an oath to Abraham that He would not change, against His nature that does not change. So that by these two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have our faith and hope secured. God, what God promised the descendants of Abraham. But here, even before Abraham, we see that God made that promise. Who did He make it to? If He made it before time began, then He made it before man began. Because man is creation. Who did He make the promise to? A faith and a knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And at His appointed season, He brought forth His word to life through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. Jesus. Amen. He made the promise to Jesus. Let's prove it. Because He reiterated the promise He made to Abraham that his seed through his seed, through Isaac, his seed would be called, and he would be the father of many nations. The promise he made to Abraham was to Abraham's seed. Through Abraham to his seed, wasn't it? Who was Abraham's seed? Now we're going to find out what he promised to Abraham was just a reiteration of the promise that he made before time began. This should shake you up. Brothers, let me take you an example. Verse 15, Galatians chapter 3. This is what Paul is saying in his revelation of Christ. Brothers, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant, and is making a distinction here between a human covenant and another type. Just as no one can, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but, and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. What I mean is this. The law, introduced 430 years later, after Abraham, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God, and does not do away with the promise. For the inheritance if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise. But God in His grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. Now compare it what we've just read in Titus, a faith and a knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And to his seed, not just to Abraham, but to his seed, Jesus. God made a promise to Jesus that man, before he was even created, would have the hope of eternal life. Listen to it all together. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. Well, that promise he made to Jesus before the beginning of time, there was no man to make it to. There was only Christ. So how did he make that promise to us, the hope of eternal life? How did he make that promise to us? Because Jesus would become the man, the firstborn of many brethren, the man that God intended. Jesus, Adam was only a figure of he who was to come. Adam was only a figure of he who was to come. It was never through Adam that man would be found holy and blameless. It was never God's intention that through Adam man would be found holy and blameless. It was always God's intention that through Christ man would be found holy and blameless. Let's prove it. From the scripture again. Alright, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And we've talked a bit about this before. God's purpose in election. God's purpose in election. In Ephesians 1, it tells us this. Verse 3. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Not physical one, not Adam. Who blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You know, you're only blessed in Christ. You're not blessed apart from Him. You're only blessed in Christ. You're not blessed apart from Him. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now notice what it's saying. He didn't choose you before the creation of the world. It's not what it's saying. He didn't choose you to be holy and blameless in his sight before the creation of the world. It's not what he's saying. He chose you to be holy and blameless in his sight through Christ before the foundation of the world. That's what it's saying. It was his determination that man, only through that seed, only through Jesus, the seed of heaven, would become holy and blameless and therefore have the hope of eternal life. And this promise was made to Jesus to hold for us before the foundations of the world were laid, before the beginning of time. It was never God's plan. It was never God's plan for man to remain as Adam. It was always God's plan, as it says here, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. Man was to be adopted out of Adam into Christ. That was always the plan. Is this revelation? But again, this hope, just like we have established that our faith is secure because God is willing and able, as demonstrated through Abraham, God is willing and able, as it says in Romans chapter 5, he is able to keep his promise. He is willing to keep his promise. That is our faith. And so the hope we have was also on God's promise. A promise that was made before you even were thought of. It's secure. Before the beginning of time, God made the promise of your eternal life through Christ. The first man, Adam, was a living soul. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. What does this tell you about how secure your hope is? To know that it's not only God's promise, but that he made the promise before the foundations of the world. And to know also, it was always his plan that man would become holy and blameless through Christ. As we have a surety of faith, we have a surety of the hope. Because this ending of the resurrection of man through Jesus was planned from the beginning. Didn't just happen. God is not just changing things as time goes on to make things work out. It was his plan from the beginning that man would become holy and blameless in his sight through Christ. That man would share in that nature, become partakers of the divine nature, and thus eternal life. Before God ever created you, this was the plan. And it was always through Jesus. I want to take you all the way back now to the book of Job. The book of Job. Job was one of the first to proclaim his hope in the resurrection. Job was a contemporary of Moses. He lived at the same time as Moses, thereabouts. Job is the oldest book of the Bible. Genesis covers the period that goes before Job. But Job is the oldest, the earliest written book of the Bible that we have. In Job 14, and I want you to see the figures, it expresses this plan of God. And now it's revealed to us in startling clarity what Job meant. Verse 5. Man's days, and listen to this closely, man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months. You have set limits he cannot exceed. So look away from him and let him alone till he has put in his time like a hired man. Wow. Listen to that. Man's days are determined. This is Job talking to God. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. So look away from him and let him alone till he has put in his time like a hired hand, like a hired man. He's telling you something about men of the flesh. What is something we know by the revelation of God through Christ in the New Testament? It is that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What is it we know from the New Testament in the revelation of Christ? The difference between those who serve God according to the heart and those who are servants of God that fall away. That they're just hired men, aren't they? They're hirelings. They're hirelings. They're serving God for pay and they'll get their reward. They do every time they fleece the sheep. Isn't that what all men of the flesh are? If it's only flesh and blood that cannot inherit the kingdom of God, they're hirelings. Listen to what Job's saying. Man's days, Adam, corrupted man, flesh. Man's days are determined. You've decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So look away from him and let him alone till he's put in his time like a hired man. What is Job telling you? Isn't he letting you know right there that man is not what God intended? He's putting in his time like a hired man. Somebody that's not going to be with you forever. I want you to look at it. Family stays with you forever. But servants come and go, don't they? A family may hire a servant. Someone to wash the dishes. Someone to garden in the yard. Someone to drive the limousine. But the family's always there. Servants come and go. Isn't it true? Well, that's the way it is. You're either of the family of God and eternal, or you're one of those hirelings that come and go. That's the nature of things, isn't it? You're either of the family of God and eternal, or you're one of those servants that come and go. So look away from him. That means that look away from him. What does that mean? Don't cast your favor upon him, Lord. Let him alone till he's put in his time like a hired man. Now listen to the next part. At least there is hope for a tree. Now here comes the comparison. Here comes a comparison you need to hear. At least there's hope for a tree. If it's cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. The roots may grow old in the ground and its stump die in the soil, yet at the scent of water it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. But if man dies and is laid low, he breathes his last and is no more. As waters disappear from the sea, or as a riverbed becomes parched and dry, man lies down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, men will not awake or be roused from their sleep. Till the heavens are no more. Wow! Now you're understanding. There's a figure for the children of God. They're like the tree. But the man is like that hired man. Mankind, Adam, they're not going to wake again until the heavens and earth pass away. What does it tell us? Let me take you to it. Revelation, my friends. Revelation, the book of Revelation. I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it, earth and sky, verse 11, chapter 20, earth and sky fled from his presence and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had recorded. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and hell gave up the death that were in them. So they're not even risen till after heaven and earth pass away, right? The second resurrection, the great white throne judgment, happens after heaven and earth pass away. Look what Job is saying. But man dies and is laid low. He breathes his last and is no more. As water disappears from the sea, or riverbed becomes parched and dry, so man lays down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, men will not awake or be roused from their sleep. You hear it? That's man. But the figure for the child of God is that tree. At least there's hope for a tree. If it's cut down, it will sprout again. And its new shoots will not fail. If you die, you're going to sprout again, aren't you? If you're in Christ. Aren't you? Its roots may grow old in the ground and its stump die in the soil. Your body may be laid in that grave. But listen, and a stump die in the soil, yet at the scent of water it will bud. And that's that living water Jesus is talking about, isn't it? At the scent of water it will bud. Even though its roots die in the soil, its stump is dead, and it's cut off, it will bud again. There's hope for the tree. And the riddle here is in Job is you have to decide whether you're a tree or a man. Because he just told you that a man's days are determined. And you decreed the number of his months. And you set limits he cannot exceed. So look away from him and let him alone till he has put in his time like a hired man. He just told you what a man is. Flesh and blood. It's what he told Adam. From dust you were taken, to dust you shall return. Are you a man, or are you a tree? Those who have hope in Christ have the hope of a tree. A tree has hope. This was the earliest book of the Bible. This was written before any of the other books. Job says, I know that I will stand in my flesh and see God at the latter day. Job was the first to speak of his hope in the resurrection. Do you hear this, what's going on? Do you see God's plan from the beginning? Going back again to Titus. Going back to Titus again, 1. Jesus Christ, I, Paul, a servant of God as an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect. Those are the trees. Those are the trees and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. A faith and a knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised from the beginning of time. Before the beginning of time. And at His appointed season, He brought His word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. The promise of eternal life was before the beginning of time. That choice is there for all men. Only through Jesus, who was put to death on a tree. Only through Jesus can man ever be justified. Because if the promise was made before time began, then the promise was made to Jesus. And He is the man that God always intended. And only through Jesus can you be adopted out of Adam into Christ. And you can be a man who is a hired hand like Adam and pass away and awake not again until the heavens disappear. Or you can be that tree, though you're planted in the ground and your roots are dead, at the scent of that glorious water, you will bud again. We have it from the very beginning, the solidity of our hope. It's not changed. The God who promised us faith and solidified it has gave us a hope based on the same foundation. It's solid. The oath He swore against His nature guarantees it. And this is our gospel. Your hope is every bit as solid as the basis for your faith. And you'll find out before it's over that they're one and the same. Praise God. It's a good place to stop.